This is KBBI Homer AM 890, and you are tuned to the coffee table. The time is 9:02. And Haven House is in the house. My guests today are Leslie Scroggin. We need to get that mic so we can get you right on that mic and get as close to it as you can.
Hi there.
And Leslie's the shelter manager.
That's correct.
At Haven House. Even closer to that mic. Ronnie Leach is here, executive director of Haven House. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
And Doug Kester is here, prevention coordinator.
Yeah, that's
all
it.
Right. And I want to thank you guys because October is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. And I hear there's a hashtag.
There is a hashtag. Hashtag one thing. We're reaching out to our community, and our call to action this month is that everyone can do one thing. So what's your hashtag one thing?
So what's my one thing
what's
that I can
thing?
Do? Talk about it.
Absolutely.
That's what I'm doing. That's what we're doing here today. And so if you have questions or comments, anything you want to know or add to the conversation, call 235-7721 and join the conversation. But first, I would like to, Ronnie Leach, could you introduce yourself and briefly the staff?
I will. Hi, everyone. I am Ronnie Leach. I am the executive director at Haven House. I've actually been with Haven House for 15 years. I started as an intern, and I obviously love it. And I brought with me Leslie Scroggin. She has been with the agency for 4 years in September, and she is our shelter manager. And then we have Doug Kester. He is our prevention coordinator and our Green Dot extraordinaire.
And let's get right to it then. I want to talk about services that are available, but can you start with like what the needs are in this community and how you even determine what the needs are in the community. You ready to go with that, Leslie?
So what we do is basically we have client-driven services, and so our participants tell us what they need, and that's how we direct the services that we provide to people.
It's not a particularly new model, but it's a different one.
It can be. It seems that in these types of situations, it's common for people to tell the individuals that are seeking support what they need, when in reality, it really needs to be the other way.
And so what about services that the shelter provides? Can you talk a little bit about that, Ronnie?
I can. We have 24-hour advocacy. So we have staff, our shelter staffed all day. We have a crisis line for emergency crisis calls. And in our shelter, it's 20-bed shelter, so we can, you know, on the peak seasons, we can have 20 participants or residents in our shelter. And we provide meals, we provide clothing, they can go to Home or Thrift if they need something, we can provide them with transportation. You know, if they have an emergency and they need medical care, we can, you know, help them navigate those systems.
I had forgotten about Homer Thrift on
yes.
my list of things that happen through and around Haven House.
Homer Thrift is a huge asset for not only Haven House, but for our whole community.
Definitely. Now, can you talk briefly, before we move on to more specific services and things that are going on, can you talk briefly about how you budget and how you were affected by state budget cuts?
Most of our funding was cut. Budgeting is tight, but because we have such great community support, we are able to get through on the community support. I mean, that's what really bridges that gap between what we get from our state and federal grants to our daily services and what clients need.
Can you give an idea, like what percentage of your services were funded by the state that now you need to find new funding?
Most of our programs are state-funded, but we have to keep in mind that it's federal funds that roll down to the state, and the state gets a block of money, and then they disperse it.
And that was affected? So that,
right.
that so, where does that federal money go now, or are they just not accepting it?
Who knows?
Okay. Fair enough. And so I would like to talk to, I think it's Leslie. Doug, I'm going to get to you.
No problem.
So let's say I am in distress and I feel like I need to leave my home. And I don't, and I don't know how to do that. First of all, reaching out to your friends, to your colleagues, to the people around you is a risk. And I want to know what's there at Haven House when I call the hotline and say, I'm in distress and I need help.
So our hotline's open 24 hours, and you would speak to an advocate, and everything that you share with them is completely confidential and received without judgment. And it is common for people to be in fear to leave the situation that they're in. So it is often that people will call multiple times and speak with an advocate before actually coming in to receive services.
Right. When I say, oh, I call you and I'm ready to go, that could be months into years of a process.
That is common. And we have had people that will reach out to us sporadically throughout the year, maybe even for a couple of years before they actually come in person to receive services.
And so I need to get out of my house. How do I mean, I'm just going to get in a cab and show up at Haven House, and that's what would be, who is directed to come to you?
So basically, that can look any number of ways depending on where they're located and what their abilities are for transportation. It might look like us offering them a gas voucher. We could also pay for transportation via cab. Sometimes people are able to get to us or have a friend bring them to us. Sometimes law enforcement will assist and actually transport people as well. It can look a number of different ways. People will even safety plan and have their partner drop them off at work, and then they might walk to the library and then take a cab to Haven House. So it's sort of get kind of creative sometimes, but it can look any number of different ways again.
I would like to talk a little bit about the risk that people take when they reach out. Is there anyone here that wants to speak to that? Because I know from what little training that I've had that it's when a person can be in danger just from reaching out.
That is correct. When someone's leaving their perpetrator, that is the highest level of risk that they are going to be in. And it is important to be very cautious around that time, just sort of depending on the specific situation. When people are leaving their perpetrators, the person on the other end can sort of sense that, and it can reach a higher level of violence than it otherwise would. So it is important to do safety planning and just to sort of take those things into precaution.
And what's in your plan to protect people and their children who come to Haven House?
So one really big thing is always respecting confidentiality, especially because we live in such a small community. And we also communicate a lot with our participants and try to identify what the areas of risk are and what their fears are, and basically lead from there. And that can look a lot of different ways. And as far as essentially protecting our participants, there are a lot of different avenues that can touch, as far as there's their physical safety, emotional safety, so on and so forth. So sometimes it looks like getting them in touch with law enforcement to try to get a higher level of protection or support. And sometimes it's just offering more education.
And what is available to someone who's staying at Haven House? Are there, in order to, like, what are my options for empowering myself? Are there groups meeting at Haven House? And who do you cooperate with around the community in order to empower people to get the help they need?
So we do try to have groups at Haven House, although right now at this moment we don't have any acting, but we will be having some shortly in the future. And we assist people with navigating the legal system or reaching out to mental health services or support with addiction. In addition to family planning is another place that we often refer people to. And
the other thing that I wanted to ask is to Ronnie, you've got a list of hashtag of the one things that people can do. So I want to encourage people to call and comment and ask questions or just keep the conversation going. The number is 235-7721. And Ronnie, what else is on that list?
My list includes, but is not limited to, talk to loved ones about domestic violence and oppression. We need to create a culture of consent in our home and community. Use social media to raise awareness among your peers. Volunteer at Home or Thrift. Attend a Green Dot training. Be a caring and consistent adult in the life of a child. Donate resources to support Haven House. Listen to and validate a survivor of trauma. Share South Peninsula Haven House's information with a survivor.
Well, let's go to the social media, because I know it's one of the things that some people have to do when they're trying to get out of a need support to get out of a situation is to get out of social media.
Right. Absolutely.
And so how do you direct people for that in that way?
To access our services or to, I don't understand the question.
But you can use social media.
We can use social media to get our message out and about our services and about, it's okay to talk. It's okay to, reach out to your friends and neighbors.
And Doug Kester, I've been neglecting you, but Ronnie said Green Dot. Oh, go ahead. What do you have there?
I brought you a gift. It was our bracelets. Everyone can do hashtag one thing to end DV.
I'll put that on right now.
If anybody else wants one, you can meet us at Home or Thrift today from 1 to 3, and you can tell us what your hashtag one thing is to do, and we'll write it on our board.
Everyone can do one thing. Let us know what your thing is.
Yeah.
Go 235-7721 is the number. But one of the things on that list was Green Dot training. And
you
so I'm gonna go off script here and say, Doug, talk about Green Dot. What is it?
All right. So the cool thing about any of this work, it's not violence prevention, it's not a matter of like, oh, this is a women's issue, I'm gonna choose not to be involved. No, this is something that affects all of us, every single one of us, from our children to our neighbors to all of our families and friends. So it is your issue. There is no choice to like step out of this issue. And in Green Dot, we basically are asking and informing and teaching people how to intervene, because that is the most important thing. How do I get involved? How do I do something to keep us and all our loved ones safe in this community? We have to learn the skills to take action, basically, because we all have loved ones somewhere out there in our community that need to, at times, they might need a little extra help to be safe, whether it's at the bars, whether it's at your home, basically. So,
and I think Green Dot is set up beautifully because strategies are there for whatever you're comfortable doing.
Yeah, that's so true.
The only thing you can't do is look the other way.
Yeah, it's so true, because you know what? We all have loved ones out there in the community, and if we're not going to be there to keep them safe, we're all hoping somebody's going to be there to keep them safe. But also, we do acknowledge in Green Dot, there's a lot of barriers to acting. And we can be afraid to say something. We can be worried that we're going to make the situation worse.
And we might.
And you know what? But those are the skills in Green Dot that we teach. Like how you don't have to like change who you are to be a part of violence prevention or preventing, domestic abuse or any of this. You can find a way to do it inside your own personality, inside your own ability as a member of our community to keep each other safe.
And if someone were to want to participate in Green Dot, I know you have trained people all over, employee groups and just clubs and such all over the city.
Yes. Well, okay. So Green Dot right now, we would love for more people to interact with our message in Green Dot, because really it's about keeping all of our loved ones safe. We all have our hearts walking around out there somewhere. So right now in the schools, we are, leading practically the nation in training in our schools, but we need people to be a part of our public trainings where we're just training you. And it's not, it's something that you get out of it yourself. You learn who you are and you learn what it takes for you to stand up and make a difference.
Also, I know from experience that there can be things that you are squeamish or feel weird about doing, but if you practice them, all of a sudden you're not.
It's true. We all have barriers to acting. There's no doubt about it. And there's a way. You don't have to like push through the barriers. That's not what Green Dot is. It's about getting around the barriers, finding another way to say something to that person, maybe asking a friend to say something, maybe just writing a letter. There's so many ways that we can act to help keep each other safe, because we all have loved ones who are walking around in our community, whether they're other family members or anything. So we want to keep each other safe.
Well, I know for about a year on KBBI, we had Green Dot Radio. We had a two-hour
yes.
music show
yeah.
that had Green Dot information and information about upcoming trainings and such. Tara Schmidt was amazing.
She was great.
And so I'm hoping to extend that invitation that we could do something like that again, because getting people used to the idea and informed about when things are happening, I think can help a lot.
Exactly. It's Green Dot doesn't have to be this big heavy thing. All it is bystander intervention. So that means your friends, your neighbors, we all have our hearts walking around somewhere outside of us, whether it's our children or what. So it's basically a way to learn how to intervene effectively.
And so you do role playing?
Oh yeah, we do all sorts of fun things. Role playing, you really get to know who you are as a person and what's comfortable for you to intervene. So in this issue, it's really difficult because you're always afraid you're going to make something worse, and that you have to acknowledge that in so many situations, from domestic violence to sexual abuse to any of this, you're afraid you're going to make it worse. So how do you do it? You learn those skills, and that's what's super powerful.
It is one of the more frustrating things. And being involved in Green Dot, I was peripherally involved for a while and want to get back into it. But the thing that really resonated with me was that in terms of sexual abuse, in terms of domestic violence, it's that when these things are happening, people know. It's not, how could this have been going on with no one knowing it was happening? Well, the truth is people do know. And so being empowered and feeling like you can take that risk and take responsibility and speak up is, I think, one of the great gifts of the Green Dot program.
It is so true. And you learn the skills to do so. That's what is great about taking a Green Dot class. You learn about yourself and how you can intervene in a way that's effective and safe for everyone.
And we'll circle back to this toward the end so we can remind people again. But is there... are there Green Dot trainings coming up? Is there something happening right now that we could let people know about so that they can get involved?
We always have Green Dot trainings happening in the schools. We are just tomorrow, we're going out to Voznesenka, and
yes.
we're going to do some Green Dot training there. We're in high school, we're in the middle school. You know what? Young people get it. They totally get this. They get the whole idea of bystander intervention, meaning that there's always someone there that can intervene in a potentially violent situation and help it.
I'm sure it is. It is better for them. It's easier for younger people because, you know, I grew up in a culture where teachers were allowed to hit you. And in fact, a bad teacher was one who wouldn't hit their students. You know, they weren't willing to do what it took, you know, and so I was raised with this idea that there were acceptable levels of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are no longer raised with that idea.
It is true. It is true. We're trying to transform that idea as something that, you know, obviously physical violence can cause more trauma than whatever thing you're trying to get them to do. So it doesn't exactly help the situation usually. And you know what? We do need more. We need everyone on this issue, whether any kinds of violence, but even this. And I know this of domestic violence can be a tricky thing. So learn some skills. With Green Dot, you learn skills how to intervene in an effective way that is safe for everyone, including yourself.
And thank you. And I'm going to come back to Green Dot when we get toward the end of the show. But I want to go back to Ronnie Leach, Executive Director of Haven House, because the next thing I want to talk about is the legal advocacy that Haven House provides.
Right. And we do have legal advocates, and what they can do is help support individuals in filling out protective orders, going to court.
They'll go to court with you.
Yes, they'll go to court just to be that, presence. And Leslie actually does legal advocacy and works with the new advocates on how to properly navigate that.
And can you talk a little bit about the process, how you train someone to go along with, who would come with me? I like to use myself in this instance as an example, because then I'm not putting anyone on the spot.
Right. So we can't really give legal advice because we're not lawyers. And like Ronnie said, what we do is assist people with navigating the legal system. We assist people with filling out protective orders, and we also do accompany people to going to court. And a lot of what legal advocacy is basically answering and trying to find answers to the questions that they don't know. It can be pretty common for people to reach out to us and for us to almost be just as confused as they are with the conflict that they might be dealing with. So what that looks like is doing research on the internet or even calling the courthouse to ask questions. And we do accompany people to court as well. There are times when people are going to file a protective order or possibly see their perpetrator in court, and just having an advocate with them provides just sort of an extra sense of comfort and safety that they might otherwise not have.
And Ronnie, you're making notes over there.
Oh, I am. And what we also do is, once we do research, and another good resource for us is Alaska Legal Services. Mm-hmm. They have volunteer attorneys that will do pro bono work. And so our clients that come in can fill out an application for an attorney. And, if they're approved, then they have legal service.
And before we move on, I want to make it clear to everyone that these services at Haven House are for everyone.
They are for everyone.
For men, for women, for children, for LGBTQ people.
Right.
For whatever your relationship issues are. There's a program, there's help, there's support. I think support's probably the word.
Haven House is there for everyone. We are there to support everybody, our community, everyone.
Because often, like Doug brought this up earlier, people think, oh, that's just a women's issue, and so the women should really be taking care of this, but it really isn't just a women's issue.
No, it's not. Could I want to say something to that? Because we have a group here in town called the Homer Men's Leadership Forum, and we're getting that started again for the fall months, and there were some great guys who came out and engaged with this, because you know what? This is a men's issue too, obviously. It is, yes,
right.
Men are also being hurt by
men
domestic
need the
violence.
Services, right.
But also, it is like, it's an aspect of our culture, the men in control. It is about control. So what can we do as men to reach out to our fellow men to like make this something we can all walk together in?
I think I recall this group convening before in the past. You guys get together and do guy stuff.
Yeah, yes. We do. Exactly. We did some awesome like target range shooting.
It feels like what you're doing is platforming and supporting the idea that there's nothing wrong with masculinity.
Exactly.
Right, because I have heard criticisms in the past that, this is all just women's stuff, but props to you for starting this group, because it's a way for people to get together and do the things they love, but also change the culture.
It's so true. And it is, it's all of our issue. You know why? Because it affects us it affects our families. It affects our children. As a child, I remember when my parents were fighting, and I remember these intense electric bolts of energy going through my body during it. And it was like, I didn't know what to do. I felt paralyzed. I mean, this is something when families are in conflict, it's an intense burden for young people. people. So, and it causes all sorts of things later in life, other traumas and things to come up. So as men, what can we do on this issue? We can be there for each other. We can be there to support each other. We can interact with this issue, with domestic violence, to help people in so many different ways. And it's not about saying people are bad or you did something wrong. It's about, hey, I'm there to give you support when you are feeling these intense emotions that you feel like you are going to hurt someone or you're going to do something that you're going to obviously regret.
And separate those toxic ideas from real masculinity. The toxic idea that I have to be alone in this and no one can help me and I have to deal with this on my own.
It's so true, you know.
And I mean, women also deal with that feeling, I'm alone in this. But it's great that you guys reach out.
But it's also fear, you know, and shame. It's a shame-based, you know, domestic violence. And so reframing that and retraining, like Doug is saying, and, you know, redefining masculinity.
It's so true. You know, so much of it is about control. I mean, we think it's about anger, and yes, people lose, you know, their emotions and get angry and do things. But it is about control, and men somehow have been socialized to think that they have to be in full control over their families or some particular situation, when really it's a matter of, like, you know, vulnerability is not a weakness. It is a strength. It is something men can, like, talk about their emotions. Sometimes we're enculturated to not talk about our emotions if we're men. We're enculturated to, like, you can feel like, you know, anger is like the limit of our emotional spectrum that we're allowed to feel. But that doesn't help any situation. And I, you know, for that point, I really wanted to talk for a moment and just the idea of, like, Green Dot and how do we reach out to someone to help them? Because it's a tricky situation to help someone that's going through domestic violence.
And while changing the culture at the same time.
Yeah, exactly.
And those cultural myths exist not just as some fantasy. I mean, the reason why the cultural myth exists that women need to attach themselves to a man in control is because women couldn't own property or vote, or in order to have any freedom or any feeling of safety, it was necessary in my grandmother's lifetime, to be sure, and in my lifetime even. So this is the real work that you're doing to change the culture is the everyday work of getting together and shooting and supporting each other, or getting together for crafts, or meeting up at or volunteering at the thrift store.
It's so true. You know, men want to be protectors of their family, and that emotion can be the one we reach down to as protectors instead of, like, the ones that are harming, you know, the family and the children. And don't get me wrong, men can be and are emotionally and mentally abused in relationships,
right,
as well. So this happens. This is happening right now. It's a little
but
different.
But that's also part of that culture that needs changing, because when women had no power to get credit, no power, manipulating people's emotions was pretty much the only thing we had. So if you're wondering why I'm so good at that, it's because the culture made that my only option.
Right. And it's, you know, and those are real things, and they infect us so intensely, emotions and our mental state. But physical violence, physical abuse of someone is, it's honestly another level of concern, because you're fearing for your life and safety, which obviously that reaches down to the depths of who we are, of, like, survival from that.
I want to thank Haven House for doing the work that they do to help people stay safe and to support each other. This is The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson, and Ronnie Leach and Leslie Scrogan and Doug Kester are the guests. We're going to take a short break and be back in just a moment. Oh, thank you, Errol Gardner. This is The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. The time is 9:35 a.m. And in the studio, representatives from South Peninsula Haven House, because it is Domestic Violence Awareness Month. So Ronnie Leach, the executive director, is here in the studio. And so have you read your entire list of just one thing? What's your one thing?
My one thing is to be here today. My other one thing, so every day I do one thing, is to donate something to Home or Thrift, to sit down and have coffee with my staff, just to check in. Reach out to friends that I might be, you know, think are at risk. When I go out into the public, I take business cards of Haven House that don't have a name on it, but it has our crisis line, and I leave them in the bathroom. Hand out my fancy little bracelet that I gave you today.
I have seen Haven House outreach in bathrooms around the city.
Well, it is. And, you know, we're talking about Green Dot, and one of the things that I do and I keep in my purse is our crisis line number. And if you see that a woman is in a precarious situation, follow her into the bathroom, give her a card and say, you probably won't need this, but, you know, just in case.
So I am going to get back to the kind of services and support that Haven House provides. But when you were just talking, Ronnie, it made me wonder, what kind of support is there for the staff? This must be a high stress environment for the staff of Haven House.
Well, we have a wonderful board and they allow us to take wellness time. So we do Wellness Wednesdays. We'll go for
What's
a
Wellness Wednesday?
It's really fun. We'll go out to lunch somewhere. We'll go down to, it's fun for me, for all of us to go to Home or Thrift and fold clothes in the back room. That's fun. And we'll go to farmer's market together and get vegetables. It, just to get away and breathe and do something that we normally wouldn't do. An hour a day, it's like our lunch shift. So it's really fun.
And when I was last Thursday, I spent the day or the afternoon with the Kachemak Bay Quilters, and they showed me little bears they made and little quilts they made for the little bears that go to Haven House. 100 of them this year, and another, I think, 72, they said, that went up to Kenai. And so when a kid needs to sit for a forensic interview, or maybe you can give me a better idea of when those bears go out.
At Haven House, we have our child advocacy centers, and we have one in Homer. This is our main one, and we have a satellite one in Kenai, and so our child advocacy center. So the bears go there, and they're wonderful. And so if a child is feeling uncomfortable, it's a comfort item, and we really always have a need for comfort items. Like 2 weeks ago, someone brought in snacks for our child advocacy, which was wonderful because we don't have funding to buy things like that. We, you know, depend on the...
Especially not now.
Well, yeah. And so our child advocacy centers depend on funding and donations to provide juice boxes, snacks for kids, something to make a meal if a child's going to be there all day.
And what we're talking about, like a forensic interview, is
right.
A filmed interview with a shelter advocate?
No, that's a trained forensic interviewer. It's someone that's specialized in child interviews.
And this seems like a really good time to point out what Leslie was talking about earlier, that sometimes you have to put children into this situation and they have to go through it. It doesn't make you a bad parent.
No.
Like, it doesn't reflect. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Basically, being a survivor of domestic violence isn't a reflection of parenting or lack thereof. Domestic violence is a really common problem that impacts many people, many families, men and women. And basically, reaching out to Haven House demonstrates that you're doing what you need to do to keep yourself and your family safe. And it doesn't mean that you have done anything to put yourself in that position.
And I want to talk a little bit about some of the attendant issues that are going to arise when a person reaches out for help. There are issues of homelessness. There are issues of addiction. And I was wondering if you can address the support systems at Haven House.
For our, you know, clients that are homeless.
For clients that are homeless.
Right.
Let's start with that.
And then Leslie can take on that.
Okay.
We were really lucky to get our basic homeless assistance program funds this year. And so with that program, it's through Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. We have funding that we can help people start over, get into a place.
And what about... Kathy is on line one. Stand by. So, Kathy, are you there?
I'm here. Yes. I just wanted to put in a kudos for Homer Thrift. A couple of things I learned this year after doing a sale was that Homer Thrift will come and pick up what's left over, or they'll come to your home and pick up what you have to donate. The other thing is that Homer Thrift is tax deductible, so you can get a little receipt for your donations. And my question is, do you still need volunteers in any of your programs, including Homer Thrift? Thank you for the time.
Thank you, Kathy. So what's a person to do if they want to pitch in? First of all, empty your closet of all the cool
Absolutely.
Things you're never
cool
going to wear again.
And jewelry.
Oh, right. In fact, yeah, kitchen goods.
But I also wanted to add that Homer Thrift can always use volunteers. But what Homer Thrift does, and a lot of people don't know that, we have the empowerment program. And what that is women that come into the shelter and that don't have job skills, they get to go over to Homer Thrift. We take them over to Homer Thrift, and they get on the job training. So Homer Thrift teaches them job skills so they'll have something to add to their resume so that they can go into, then, you know, move into working in a retail environment or
then you
customer
have work
service.
Experience.
Absolutely.
And I want to ask about dealing with addiction because it's so much a part of, it can be such a strong component of someone's experience with domestic violence. People who are self-medicating because they feel like they can't reach out. Also, people who are trying to get clean, but their partner won't let them because that means that they lose control. So can you talk a little bit about that, Leslie?
Well, part of it is understanding that addiction is a mental illness and it's not something that's a reflection of your character or who you are as a human being. It's just, it's basically another form of sickness that we need to support people with. And it is very common for people who are fleeing domestic violence to have problems with addictions. And it almost seems that just being a human being can often lead to addiction, even if you're not fleeing domestic violence. And that is a huge struggle here in our community also. And we basically just kind of try to talk to the individual just to kind of see where they are with their addiction. It can be common for people to not yet be ready to refrain from using. And if they're in that place, it's something that we may or may not have to revisit, just sort of depending on the situation. And when people are ready to start kind of identifying their issues with that, we would again, just kind of let them lead and see what the best direction would be to go in, whether it's referring them to rehab or maybe seeing if they need to go to groups or get mental health services, so on and so forth.
And Doug Kester, it's been too long since
we've chatted.
It's been a full 5 minutes. Also, there is on my list something called the Batterers Group. Are you set up to talk about that?
Nope, that would be, I want to hear Ronnie say, talk about that.
Yes. So what is the Batterers Group?
It's Domestic Violence Intervention Programs, and the Batterers Intervention, it's the same thing, it's interchangeable. And what that program does is teaches individuals that have been referred to the program about power and control in relationships. We teach, you know, effective nonviolent communication skills. And it's an education-based program.
And is it, do people get court-ordered to it?
They can, but we also take referrals like OCS and mental health. So people that are struggling that want to learn better skills so that they can have a better life.
That was my question.
Yes.
Does a person have to be identified as an offender in order to reach out for that sort of help?
No, and if, you know, their caseworker at a different partner agency identifies that they could you benefit from some education? Because we don't know, but we can't do better until we learn better. And once you know, learn better, then you do better. So that's what the program is for, is to help them have better lives and their partners.
Well, it is time to, I'll call one more time, 235-7721. Last call for comments and questions. But it's time to talk about outreach. How do you, first of all, there are all kinds of questions attendant to outreach, but how do you reach out to someone who you feel like might be in danger?
Oh, it's such a great question because we all have barriers and obstacles to acting on any form of violence, but especially domestic violence. And our culture says it's none of my concern. That's their family. Don't get involved. That's like our culture taught us that. We are saying in Green Dot, our safety and the safety of our children and our neighbors are all of our concerns. So we all have to do something. But that's not to say we don't all have barriers to acting, right? We're afraid we're going to say the wrong thing. We're afraid we're going to make the situation worse. We're afraid, you know, we're going to like be judgmental and we might be too harsh. So we all have those and we have to acknowledge those barriers first. And then that's what's cool about Green Dot, because we do that. We acknowledge our personal barriers and there's no self-improvement necessary. You can get around those barriers. You don't have to like plow through them. You don't have to change who you are. So all that said, how do we help someone? How do you? Because it's an uncomfortable thing. Maybe you could start a conversation. You could say, hey, I'm worried about you because I saw this. I'm concerned for your safety. You know what? So much of it is just listening. As a guy, I want to solve the problem, but that is not what they need sometimes.
Also, right, because I want to interject just a minute, because reaching out one time and having one conversation may start a person down the path, but give yourself the credit, give yourself time, because the expectation that you're going to solve somebody can actually work against you.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it is not, it takes time. This is like a process. There's so much more to it. They're still in love with the person. They have children with the person. They want, you know, they want to stay for them. They, you know, maybe they have an addiction with the person. There's a lack of jobs, you know, money, transportation.
So many variables.
It's all tied up in it. There's so many variables to it. But hey, if we could be there, you know, in Green Dot, it is simple as this. If just being there for someone and being like, hey, I'm ready to listen, and I'm ready to listen in a non-judgmental way that's going to, you know, say, well, you're doing this and you're doing this. You know what? Sometimes the solutions will come out of the person as you're listening. It's not about you projecting those solutions onto them.
Right. Once again, you're not fixing them.
Yes.
You're listening to see what they need and then doing your best to be there for that, to support that.
Yeah, it's so true. And it's not, you know, sometimes it's not an easy thing. But if you can just go into it as like, just be there as a friend, as a loving person, as someone who, you know, cares about the family, it can be way easier to not go in with the baggage of, I want to fix this. We're going to take care of this situation. Because you know what? Things take time and things have to move.
And people need to be empowered to solve their own.
Yeah, it's true.
And it's just important to basically provide unconditional support and not have a certain expectation for people. You don't want them to feel as though they're accountable to you. You're gonna be disappointed in them if they don't leave their partner. You will still be for them 3 months from now if they still haven't found the ability to leave that person. And that's just a huge part of it, I think.
Just the fact that they might know that you're there to watch their kids.
Yep.
If something happens.
Without judgment.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Just to say, I believe you. Because you know what? Just having someone that goes, okay, someone knows and they believe in me, it just means such a big thing. Just to say, hey, this is not your fault. You don't deserve this. You know, just to be like, I'm a person that's there and I'm ready to support you.
Well, I want to thank you guys all for being here. My next question is, the health fair is coming up. Are you guys there?
Yes.
Go ahead, Ronnie. What do you have planned?
Well, we're of course, #OneThing. We'll be at the health fair, and we're going to be sharing lots of tables with Green Dot, so we'll have all of our service documents there.
First weekend in November?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, it's
and
coming
so
up.
Green Dot will be there?
Oh, you know it. We love to reach out to people
with
Green Dot.
You love a fair, I know.
That's right. Hey, I just wanted to say one thing really quick, because, you know, prevention work and preventing this is more than just, you know, like intervening in some situation. It's about, you know, what are the root causes of these issues? And that's where things, you know, such as our men's group, if you look at Homer Men's Leadership Forum, if you're a man who wants to get together and maybe like talk about how we can help each other through this stuff. Trauma is so big. Sometimes these intense emotions in men or women are not our own. They come from our ancestral heritage. And it's such an important part to learn about, like, where are these intense emotions coming from? And that's why we, you know, we teach in the schools, we teach about emotional regulation and like how do you deal with these intense emotions? We all have them. We're not saying you can't feel anger. Men, we're not saying you can't feel these things. It's just about when you project them onto other people that really can cause harm to yourself, your family, your children, and your community.
And so I think it's time to give one last direction for outreach for anyone who has questions or is looking for support. So first, the hotline is an emergency number, 24
yes,
hours.
Yes, it is.
But so can you give that number?
235-8943.
But there are also ways to reach out before a person feels like they're in an emergency.
They can come and talk to someone at Haven House.
And walk right in, right?
And walk right in. And, you know, like we were talking about hashtag and what you can do to help a survivor. The best thing that we can do is, like Doug said, be there for them, but it's hold a safe space so they feel comfortable and trust.
Well, I know we could have gone the whole hour with me just asking Doug, what's your one thing, Doug, today?
I just want to be a person that somebody feels comfortable that they can come and talk to, and just like being normal, being open and being caring. And, you know, whether it's guys or girls, I'm not going to be judgmental. And maybe that's it. Just putting that out there that I'm not going to judge you.
And I want to know, Leslie, do you have a one thing for today?
My one thing was accomplishing my fear of being on the radio and showing up here this morning. So I hope that's good enough.
Well, Leslie Scroggin, shelter manager, Doug Kester, prevention coordinator, and Ronnie Leach, executive director at Haven House. Thank you all. Do you have any last words or something you'd like to, any more information?
I want to say thank you for having us. And again, come by Homer Thrift and tell us what your hashtag one thing is.
And let's see if we can't get that green dot dance party going.
Yeah,
on.
Let's do it.
So this has been The Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. It is Domestic Violence Awareness Month, but don't let it end at the end of the month. But today and in coming days, drop in to Homer Thrift, which is Ocean Drive and...
Ocean Drive.
Yeah, Ocean Drive is just the address. Right before you get to the... going toward the spit. Right before you get to the farmer's market. Drop in and say hello. And this has been The Coffee Table. Thanks for listening, Homer.